Hello, and welcome to Prusa 10, Prusa Live number 10. Sorry about that. We're so happy to have you guys here. So excited that this is the 10th episode. I mean, time has just flown, and I'm honestly shocked in some ways that you guys have continued coming back over and over again to keep this going. I'm so happy that we're able to keep doing this. So with me, as always, we've got Nicholas Sousa.
Hello.
And the main man, Joseph Prusa. How are you guys doing tonight? Tonight, your time.
I'm doing great.
I'm doing good, too. Thank you.
All right. Awesome. So I thought maybe, you know, after last night's events here in the U.S., we'd like change up the format of this time. And like Joe and I can just scream at each other for an hour.
I heard something important.
So, all right. No, none of that. We will keep it nice and civil. So let's kick things off with our normal Prusa Printers picks of the week. What do you guys have?
So I would say that we will leave the last spot for Miklos because, I mean, I wanted to pick something low-key because he has kind of a banger. But I like to do practical stuff. And this is a nice thing. Hopefully you can see it. It is a little oven. You put your kitchen sponge in and it can drain and nicely dry because, you know, I would say the kitchen sponges are the most disgusting thing in everyone's apartment.
Yeah.
Does it actually drain out the nose of the elephant?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah. So I like it. And I wanted to try the new ASAA Signal White we just released. So this is printed in it. So it should last quite forever.
It is very bright. It's almost overexposed on the camera.
Yeah. I should get my teeth whitened.
Yeah. Well, you can just like print a sheet of it and use it as your white balance from here on out for, you know, all video. And so,
I have to ask what the guys edit as a pigment because this is just whiter than white. And you know the trick they do with the 2D copier paper, they actually add like the fluorescent pigment into it, and it is also in the washing formulas for your washer, and it just embeds the pigments which convert the light to just white into it. So that is why it looks brighter than white.
Oh. That's cool.
But I don't think that is in the filament, but there might be just a lot of titanium oxide.
Nice. So my print is actually from our lights contest that happened, and it's Ray Jizza's cute skull lamp. So I don't have the parts yet for it to actually have it light up, but this thing's just so cute. I have been loving it. He's done a bunch of prints where he changes out some of the colors on some of the parts, and they just look so good. You can see the inside. It takes LEDs inside, and then it's so well done, and I think absolutely adorable. It reminds me of a toy that was in this like Jonan Vasquez comic book back in the like late 90s, early 2000s, and I love it. It's great.
He's even done these cool posters.
Yeah,
how to assemble.
Yeah, his guides and everything else are just
that
insane.
That is on the production level like Nicholas would do.
Oh, wow. Yeah, updated. Yeah, it's very nice. Cool.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I'm kind of subtle with mine. Can you guess what it is? So it's by Nils Skull. If you don't know Death Stranding, you can think of it as just a cool sci-fi lamp. If you know Death Stranding, this is Desk Stranding lamp. Desk Stranding. Yeah, it's really fun. Currently the middle segment isn't working because I'm working on a remix to make it move, because in the game it moves, and I think it would be just super sweet to, I mean, if COVID ever ends, to have it for a Maker Faire on my shoulder and just be able to control it, and it would just flop altogether. It's really wobbly. Like, you can see it's all shaking. So I don't really know how to solve that yet, but it's awesome.
I mean, you will probably end up making it out of titanium in the lab.
All right. But, CNC.
But as you said, the Maker Faire, if it will ever happen. In the March, we had our Prague Maker Faire, right? But we made it online, and the production team was very optimistic that it will happen in the fall. But as you may know, it's not going to happen.
It's even worse now. Yeah.
Everyone stay safe, please. And wear a mask. Situation is not very good over here. We were too, I would say, celebrating prematurely.
It's kind of rough. Hopefully we will get back to the point where we can all be together and hang out together. But you know, right now some of the virtual events are great, which kind of speaking of, this coming weekend, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after, you can join us for Virtual Earth, Virtual East Coast RepRap Fest, where we will be presenting some of what Prusa does there. So it'll be kind of a Prusa Live-ish, but you know, with a little bit more kind of show off on the machines that you guys all know and love, but you know, some stuff for the people who may not know us quite as well.
So what are the exact dates and the URL where they can find it?
It will be on Saturday,
Saturday the 10th, I think. Yes. Saturday the 10th. And I don't know the URL off the top of my head, but we can get that in the comments later.
You can Google that. But last time it was a blast. You know, I'm so sad that we can't share the inside stories.
Yeah. I mean, Last Earth was when we released the mini, right? And it just, kind of took over with a storm there.
It was so good.
Huge crowd.
Such a shame that we can't go this year.
Yeah. It's so many events like that.
Yeah,
right?
You
know, I keep looking at times going by, and it's like, it's September, and I'm not at Maker Faire New York. And then it's like, October, and we won't be at Earth, and November, we won't be at, Maker Faire Orlando.
But it's just time to be responsible and
absolutely.
I'm picking up the chat. I wonder, for the guys who are watching us, is something actually happening around some like in-person events? We are not going to go there, but I'm just interested. Let us know if something is actually happening in person.
Yeah,
I hope not.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in other places, but I don't think here in the U.S. So, and I don't think in most places in Europe, but I don't know. Again, back on topic there. Those are our prints that we showed. But last episode in Prusa Live 9, we challenged you guys to show us your prints and. It couldn't have gone any better. You guys really kind of wowed us with all the photos that you sent in. And I gotta be honest, I'm kind of shocked. Guests did a great job of keeping it a secret too, which was really nice. There were a couple people who started kind of slipping it a little bit on Twitter, but we rolled them back in. But yeah, the number of prints that you guys sent in was just incredible. And the quality of them, it really made picking them hard. But there were definitely ones that we loved. And in the end, Joe and I think independently both teed in on one that made it pretty clear who should take home the prize. The winner gets two spools of Prusament. I will get in contact with you over Twitter since that's how you submitted. And we'll work out the details there. But Nicholas and I were talking, and again, there were just so many good ones.
Yeah.
So we're going to do two runner-up prizes and send two of you guys a spool also. Because again, it was just, it was hard.
It was really hard.
Our first runner up, we have Special Ack, or Special K, I guess, with a three in there, with his, with his orc. Is this the orc? I think this is the orc. I'm clicking on it again.
Are you sharing your screen? Because I can't see anything.
No, this is the orc. Miklas, I put them in the dock. Can you?
And the Prusa live dock?
Yeah.
Okay. 1 second. I have some of them open, but not this runner-up.
Yeah.
Looking, I see it, yeah.
I put them in order there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the orc. Yeah, it's the super cool lighting one. So
yeah,
just 1 second.
Yeah, this one really kind of hit the like cool shots kind of side of things. It's a nice print. It's nice filament, but he just took it that next step further by like really thinking about the lighting and how it would look in the actual photos, and it's a great print.
Are we sure this is, it isn't Filament Frenzy with just
right that's exactly it. It's like, yeah, this one actually like took the notes from Tom of like how to take a good shot, and you know, I had to give him credit on that one because he really.
But by the way, did Tom Jackson Filament Frenzy survive this competition and him not being able to
I talked to Tom a couple times through it, and even yesterday, Tom was Tom and Chris were both sending me some of their suggestions, because I was like, okay guys, like this is tough, what do you guys think? And they helped me make the kind of short list. But yeah, I could tell Tom was kind of itching on the inside of, you know, dying seeing all of these and not being able to submit. Although he did a great job of on the sly, you know, sending out some things and suggesting that people watch Prusa Live 9 so that they could enter the contest.
We have Chief in the chat, so yay, congrats to you. We will reach to you, I guess, on Twitter and yeah, figure out how to ship it to you.
Yeah, awesome. Next we have The Snail City by Swiss LP Games.
Yeah, I really, really like this one.
Yeah, it's a really cute print. It's a great job of showing the machine too. Again, I think some of the lighting, while it's kind of shadowy, I think the lighting actually worked on this.
Yeah, I just...
It just looks like it shouldn't fit on the print area.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
And I
but,
like
how you can still see the prime line, so you know he didn't like, you know, print it someplace else.
And to Swiss LPG, I don't see the rest of the name over the video chat. Swiss LPG Games. I have to give him credit for not removing like the last ooze line.
Yeah,
right.
It's legit. This is how it's printed.
Yeah, right. No question.
That's what I really liked about it. It's so pure. It's like no coloring, no assembly, no nothing. It just.
I mean, that is what we asked for.
Yeah,
right?
And this is like exactly. The purest form of it.
Exactly, and yeah, I totally agree. That was one of the things for me was like, this one. It's a cool model. It's a beautiful model, and they kind of fulfilled the. This is exactly what we asked for. Shows exactly like it comes off the print. And I agree with you, Joe, like just not having that little string off the end is just like, okay, yeah, this is a done print that he just took a picture of, and it's so good. And then finally, our Ooh. Overall winner, yes, drum roll please.
I need to make some OBS sounds for this.
we have, that's the wrong. We have Spyro from
Raptoron.
I mean, that is just such a nice print.
Yeah, this was another one that, like, talking with Tom, you know, one of the comments on this was
and
just...
I mean, I like, even though that he showed the tricks that, I mean, if you are invested in a print for, you know, a long time, and a breeze from the window goes in and something lights up, you just don't give up. And you if you can put the second picture, you just tape it down or glue it.
Oh yeah, yeah, never give up.
Yeah, been there. Yeah, but yeah, even talking to Tom had the good point of like the colors he chose were spot on.
They are so spot on. Yeah,
exactly. If you're a Spyro fan, which I loved Spyro on PlayStation 1. If you're a Spyro fan, like this is just like this is everything.
Also,
and it's so good.
12 days of printing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's determination. I would tape it also if I was like 10 days in and it started detaching.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is so good. It's so nuts. And you know, the amount of filament that he put through that extruder to make that happen. Yeah, I'm glad that we're sending him a couple spools to help with that, because he's doing some serious printing. So way to go. Again, we appreciate everyone who sent out prints to us. It was a hard time choosing these, but you know, a couple of them spoke to us, and that's how we ended up going with us. This was pure gut feel of the ones that kind of we fell in love with the most. And
I used to play Spyro as a little youngling on PS1. Yeah. And I bought the remake, but I was just busy with other games.
I think it's actually pretty good, the remake. Need to get back to it.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, this year there are a lot of remakes. I just finished, like, on the weekend, the Mafia Definitive Edition. That is, like, I would say the most known Checkmate games, and the remake is very nice. I suggest it to you. It takes, I don't know, 10 hours to finish, and it's very good.
Nice.
Okay.
I made a chair.
You made a chair?
Yeah, I made a chair. That's what I finished this weekend, is I finished a chair. So again, thanks everyone for turning in the submissions. One thing I really love is, like, even though the competition's over and we put it out there, a couple people are still sending us stuff, you know, even still, and saying like, hey, I know the competition's over, but just want to share this. We love that.
Yeah, we'll look at it.
Yeah. That was absolutely the main point of even doing this competition. And I will go so far as say we will probably, if you guys keep sending stuff in, while we may not do competitions all the time, I would love to keep showing off your prints on the show. So, keep on going.
Matt, are you that cruel? I'm completely fine with running this competition every week.
Really? Every week? You heard it, guys.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. There it is. It done. I was going to try to convince you, Joe, that we run it for like, on the 10, the 20, the 30, but hey, I'm fine with every week. Let's do it, guys.
Let me recheck. We are giving away filament.
Yeah.
Right.
And we make the filament.
Yes.
Right.
So what is wrong with you, Matt?
Okay. You heard it from the boss man. You heard it right here. So keep those submissions coming. And again, let's keep it between us. Like, let's keep the secret. See how long we can keep the secret going of the Prusa Live, you know, competitions for each show. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's great. So, yeah, so excited. Sorry, Tom. We're gonna have to keep you excluded because we gotta keep it.
You have to the cruel in some way. You just have to put it there.
Yeah. that's me. I'm the heartless one around here. All right. So, moving on, we just released a new firmware. Nicholas, you were talking with me about it, 3.9.1.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to our host, so I will try to be really brief about it. I've teased it last time. It was changes to mainly linear events, I guess. I will open the changelog right in front of me, which is...
we're okay.
We're okay. Okay. So we've done so much testing, so many different, you know, testing different values and everything. The main, I think, thing for you is to If you haven't already, if you restart Prusa Slicer, it will pull the latest profiles, which have slightly adjusted the K values for Linear Advance. Basically, what was in 3.90, the previous firmware, there was a really like weirdly happening bug in like timing and the computation of Linear Advance. And this was now this thanks to the community, actually. Like, we had over 20 active community members printing and giving us feedback, what works, what doesn't. So together with you, we've really improved it. So you don't have to calibrate it. If you restart Prusa Slicer, it will pull the latest values.
Yeah, but you, if you haven't run it, you maybe have to restart it twice.
Because yeah.
One time it downloads it, and second time it applies it. But yeah, I mean, it is impossible to do something now without the community testing, because, I mean, it is just statistics. When we have, you know, 0.01% of users having a problem, we cannot test it ourselves, even though we have 7 testers working every day, all day. There's just no chance to debug everything. So thank you for giving us feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many variables in these things that it is very, very difficult. And thankfully, we have an amazing user base that is happy to contribute back into making everything better. So that's fantastic.
There's some smaller things, like PC Blend has been added to the preheat menu, which is nice because we offer the PC Blend.
Yeah. I love the PC Blend. Yeah, and if somebody from All3DP is watching this, they've just ran an article about how to print polycarbonate. And they completely missed us out, and they are just saying how difficult it is to print the polycarbonate and how you have to dry it out. And we solved most of these things, and you can print it without an enclosure and without drying out. So if somebody is watching, or even though if no one from them is watching, you can get them to test the PC Blend.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I've played with some other polycarbonate varieties in the past and was, you know, kind of apprehensive when I got a hold of it, but I have had nothing but success with it, and it's been so good. So that's fantastic. All right, Mickey.
I think, I'm not going to go anymore in it. If you really, I will paste the link for the changelog into chat. It's, I think, really interesting read, but I think I won't bother you with it anymore. Let's go to our guest.
Fantastic. All right, so our guest today is Lottie from My Super E-Bike, and he is here to talk about his video is just gone. There he is. And Lottie Lottie is here to talk about his e-bikes and how he uses 3D printing to help make super cool electric bikes. So Lottie, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit, you know, in detail of like what My Super E-Bike exactly is?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty cool system where every individual that is interested in this kind of a topic has the tools and option to build this monster powerful e-bike, doesn't matter where he is on the planet. So everybody has access to this package where they have a chart of every single part, like every wire, every connector, battery components, and then they go part by part and order every single thing what they need for this powerful build. So that goes straight from suppliers, skipping the middleman, cutting costs as much as possible. Then you get a package of 3D printed panels. So you print it on your printer or locally. And then you have this, the entire video guide where you just follow step by step how to put all the pieces together. So I really dig this system because I went through all the troubles you guys probably know when you create stuff, all the never-ending path of mistakes and burned stuff and destroyed hardware and choosing the right suppliers before you find the right parts that fit together and work actually for your benefit. So this is.
I love your color chart. I like your color choice.
Yeah, so that's really cool that this is an always developing system. So, for example, when I have always the same question, that's a good feedback for me that something was not explained properly. So I just add additional chapter explaining batteries. Or there's another example where competition grows. They they create better or more affordable parts. So I just replace them in a parts list, and everybody always has access to these up-to-date parts. Same like when you ride and you break a mudguard, I analyze obviously why it happened and adjust my model and share it with the community back the way it was. So people that start from now on always have the most up-to-date bike they can get without going through the hustle of burning batteries and burning motors.
Yeah, this is super cool. And you have like two different bikes, right? You have a one that's more like a traditional bicycle that's, you know, has an electric assist, and then you have kind of a full-on electric motorcycle, right?
Yeah, we have like three models that's essentially different sizes, different price range, different power. So the smallest, the winter bike, is a pretty cool overall commuter that does 70 kilometers an hour, takes you through 60 to 80 kilometers per charge, and it's pretty invisible, really good workhorse. The middle one is e-bike.
70 kilometers an hour?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. This is just the smallest one.
I mean, how can you... You say hold on. How can you hold on the bike when you are right?
So then you have the middle size, the e-bike 4.2. And usually I get the same type of a response from people that finish the build. Like, dude, this thing is crazy. Because this is for the first time they actually tested out. And these monsters have 17 kilowatt peak power. So if any of you guys tried electric cars or electric vehicles, that instant from 0 to 100 kilometers an hour torque is just ridiculous.
Well, out of a joke, we pre-ordered the Tesla Roadster, the new one. I mean, hopefully it will arrive in the next decade. But as you are speaking, I think I will have the same feeling out of it as out of your e-bike.
That's gonna break a lot of record, that's for sure.
I mean, your bike is like a rocket with wheels.
Yeah, Mickey, I think we need a video of Joe taking one for a test drive so we can see how it goes.
I'm sure we could do that.
Yes. I would definitely recommend some previous motorcycle experience.
Okay. Yeah,
that surprises a lot of people.
I would never. I hate motorcycles. When I was little, I crashed like one of the old, repaired communist bikes.
Fistful.
And it's called the Simpson. And yep. I wasn't feeling very good. And when I saw the first shot, when somebody was driving this crazy bike or / motorcycle in freaking shorts and t-shirt, I would never, ever do that.
That makes sense. It's a lifetime experience.
I mean, showing drifting on an e-bike just...
What? Yeah.
Is going against the calling it e-bike. It's just a super strong motorcycle.
It's this new category that stands right between a bike and a motorcycle, because this is essentially amount of power that probably 250cc two strokes have.
I mean,
then it still has pedals, and you pedal up until 80 or 100 kilometers an hour.
I mean, I was going to ask why the hell the bike has the pedals. So you can pedal up the hill up to 100 kilometers an hour.
Definitely understand this once you test one out. because that's one thing when this works for you as a tool that takes you through the bank, takes you through the city. You're always on a crossroad. You're the first one in a line and you leave behind even motorcycles. And everybody just doesn't get how this can beat everything because they're not used to it. They don't know it.
I mean, right. can you do a wheelie on a highway at 130 kilometers an hour? I bet you can, but I would not do that in shorts.
Yeah, I think
these 17 kilowatt monsters do from 0 to 60 or 60 kilo or 60 miles per hour or 100 kilometers an hour in 6 seconds.
That's just nuts.
I think everyone in the chat is really interested. Oh, where does the 3D printing come into power? What parts are 3D printed, and yeah, how does it work?
Okay, that would be interesting to pull out the Cyberbike video.
Okay.
So that's the biggest and the most powerful. That's a motorcycle that doesn't have pedals anymore, and that has some really cool parts. So we created a built-in charger in that model. That has 3 kilowatt charger. So that charges that entire bike in just 1 hour. So then you charge it for an hour, and that's theoretical only, because usually you discharge, 60% on an average day? So you're usually so exhausted after riding 60% of the battery that you need a break, you need to have a snack, and you need to relax a little bit. So in that 40 minutes, you're happy that you have it fully charged again, and you're ready for some madness again.
Which one should I play?
That should be maybe a different playlist.
Okay.
This is Cyberbike.
Cyberbike. Oh, yeah.
Mikolas, do you remember how you said that you can tape me how I test drive this? I'm not. Right.
So this one has, for example, really cool compartment unit where we just store like a phone-like wire with just a 230 volt outlet. So this is a magnetic door with imprinted hinges.
Oh, cool.
So that essentially closes the entire charger cable, clips on a magnet, feels really, really nice. And you have this sleek design flat with no handles, nothing on it. So it's even super easy installation that you just take those hinges. They have a flat surface for just a PU glue. You glue it on, fit it on the magnet, and in the morning you come back to the bike again and you have a door glued to the frame.
It doesn't even look printed from the outside. It's the build plate, just the first layer that's the smooth, the outside, the flat.
Oh yeah, that's actually made out of three parts. So obviously hinges are one part.
Right.
It always has this. It's a really fun. It's a really fun product design to make these because they have special locks and special sockets. So you just slide them to the other part. It clicks in, and without any glue, any additional post processing, it just clicks together, and you have a finished panel. Same thing with this angle. So this is a cabinet making joint that you essentially take these two parts, slide them into each other.
I see.
And that way you can take advantage of, for example, texture sheets or you know. And then another part comes with, you have all the freedom to be printing any color palette you want, whatever filament you choose to have.
I love that. I was just doing an interview with one of the Czech magazines, and exactly it was implying that the 3D printing is the answer to all the questions, and that, you know, it has to make the final product in hall. And I'm like, no, it can just, you know, be part of a process. And that is amazing that you are joining the 3D printing with like the old school wood joinery techniques.
That's the fun fact that the same